I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Taco Tuesday!
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Oh, the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 6 p.m.
Sports Radio.
A what if, a thank you, and a go away. That's how I'm going to start the show.
All right.
A what if, a thank you, and a go away. And this thank you is going to, it is going to spark your day if you are a Houston sports fan. We'll get to that in a sec. I want to start with a what if, though. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is on to Los Angeles. What if Davis Mills is right? I talked about this yesterday. I posted a video on it. And I kind of rolled my eyes when he said it. But what if Davis Mills is right? What if the Texans have actually been playing really good? Let me lay this out for you, because this is fascinating to me. The Texans are 0-3. Davis Mills right now is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL statistically. There's no disputing that. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the entire NFL statistically. He's in the bottom three in every category that you give a damn about. But let's go through what he said minutes after each game. This was Davis Mills yesterday talking about, or 2 days ago in Chicago, talking about how he felt that the Texans played.
I thought overall we played well today. It's just a tough result.
All right, you threw an interception in the end zone. You threw an interception to end the game. You had a running back completely gash you. You didn't take advantage of opportunities. You were 0-for-4 on third down. Davis Mills was 0-for-3 passing on third down. And he said that they played well. Here was Davis Mills after the performance in Denver, in which he completed 50% of his passes, which is something Deshaun Watson only did twice his entire time here. Brock Osweiler only did once. And Brian Hoyer only did twice in his 2015 season. Here was Davis Mills after the Denver game.
Solid. I mean, obviously, I want to go see the film. I know there's missed opportunities that we have, some missed throws that I've been, that I got to be better with. But, I think as a team, we're putting ourselves in the situation to win these games. We just got to take advantage of it.
All right, so he would assess his performance as solid. And let's go to Indianapolis, the Indianapolis game where the Texans lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Here's Davis Mills talking about how he felt after the Texans tied.
We're close. I mean, I think we're close. We got a lot of work on. We're happy with where we're at. We did some really good things. The result shows we got a lot to work on, and, I mean, we're ready for it.
So I start this with the what if. We'll get to the thank you and we'll get to the go away in a second. Figgy motivated me for the go away. So thank you very much, Figgy. We'll start with the what if. What if Davis Mills is right? What if Davis Mills is playing good? What if Davis Mills is actually telling me something that I should be taking into account? What if this is, to quote Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets, what if this is As Good As It Gets? What if this is it? What if Davis Mills is playing well? What if this team is playing well? What if he's right?
Playing well for what? I mean, for their level of talent?
Maybe.
Because the running game is not there outside of Dameon Pierce. The offensive line has had some, you know, some good moments, but certainly shaky. The wide receivers have not performed. The tight end has been erratic. So is he saying, I'm good and these guys are bringing me down? Or what are you, I mean, what's going on?
I mean, he's assessing his personal performance. He's assessing the Texans' performance. Maybe it's a combination of both. Maybe this is just as good as it gets. Maybe, you know, when the Texans say that they're close, maybe close is as close as they can get. Maybe they can't finish the deal. Maybe that's what they're saying. Because I'm hearing Lovie Smith talk about, you know, how close and we're not going to change anything and all these types of things. So maybe that's just where it is. And honestly, it wouldn't be the biggest shock. It wouldn't be the biggest shock knowing what we knew heading into the season, knowing what we knew when Nick Caserio took over. It's not the biggest shock if the Texans are, you know, just not capable of winning these games. And maybe Davis Mills is right. Maybe this is what to expect week in, week out from Davis Mills. And maybe he should be proud of himself. I just thought about that. And that was the what if.
Well, what you're saying then is this is going to be obviously number one. It's going to be a really long year. But the second thing is Davis Mills ain't it. I mean, if this is good and this is as good as it gets, then he's admitting I can't do better. I can't be an upper echelon quarterback unless he's just surrounded with like uber talent all around him.
It is surprising to see a quarterback after losing a game go up there and say stuff like this.
He said
given
close,
the way in which
he said good, and
solid. Yeah, after
close,
Denver.
Solid and good.
His worst performance might have been even with the Bears game in Denver.
Yeah.
And he said solid.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I've never seen anything like it. I never even saw Brock Osweiler go up there and say this type of stuff after losses. I mean, there was some hokiness to it, but I've never really seen anything like this.
Every interception really has a different story.
And he was right about that. We had fun with it, but he's right. Like, it does. Like, some get tipped, some get batted, some go through a guy's hands, some are ugly. I actually think that travels well with time. Every mm-hmm. interception does have a story.
Why, Brock? Why?
And Lovie Smith, by the way, tip passes, not always the quarterback's fault as well. So he's sticking his chest out for Davis Mills. He made it clear, by the way, Davis Mills is their quarterback.
Yes, he did.
This was a while ago. Davis Mills is our quarterback.
Davis is our quarterback.
There you go. So thank you very much. This is what he's going to be saying it like if this continues, though. Because I noticed Lovie had a little bit of a sore throat, so I just combined his sore throat yesterday with this. This is how hear how he just said Davis is our quarterback.
Davis is our quarterback.
This is how he's going to be saying it if we go like three more weeks and Davis Mills continues to play like this.
Davis is our quarterback.
One more time, Lovie.
Davis is our quarterback.
There you go.
Oh my
struggling.
God.
Struggling.
That is
can't even get it out.
Davis is our quarterback.
So where's the line then with Davis Mills?
What do you mean?
For Lovie to make a change.
I don't think there is one.
I know what you and I want, and Figgy wants, and most Texans fans want him to just play all year, whether it's good, bad, probably bad, and you get a better draft pick, and you find out on Davis Mills. I get that. But if, you know, as I said yesterday, if you're trying to win games and you're the head coach, is there not a line to replace him?
He got to get hurt.
Is that it?
If he get hurt, Kyle Allen come in and ball out, then it's going to be hard to put Davis Mills back in.
Kind of the reverse of Tyrod Taylor last year in a way.
Tyrod got his job right
he
back.
He did get his job
he got
back.
It back, but he wasn't good.
Yeah, and then, he got benched. Yeah, that's
and then
true.
And got hurt. Yeah, so he did get it back.
So is it just like, because he said, and I was listening to it again this morning, and he said, no, in terms of time to change. He's, you know, change the quarterback. He says three games is too hasty, which I'm good with that. That's fine.
Is it?
I guess it's three games a little hasty.
Okay.
I will say in 2004 with the Bears, he went through four quarterbacks.
Yeah, but that was a disaster. That was like the Chad Hutchinson reclamation project. And
Chad Hutchinson and then Craig Krenzel and then Jonathan Quinn and then Rex Grossman.
Yeah, those guys were trash. That was bad. That was really, really bad.
Shout out to Craig Krenzel.
So what if is the question. National champion, although yeah. They kind of cheated. Robbery in the desert.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if Davis Mills is right? Next one is a thank you. Got the sports blood pumping, man. Mm-hmm. I walked in today. We got a security guy named Harold. Harold's hilarious, by the way. He's a funny dude. And it's been fun following Harold's bipolar mood this year because he's a Yankee fan. And Harold is a very loud Yankee fan. And he's gone through... through many emotions. He's gone through the "this is the best team I've ever seen" phase to "we suck" to "fire Aaron Boone" to "we might not even make the playoffs" to now when I walk in, Harold says the Yankees are coming for that ass.
He's back at it.
He says the Yankees are coming for that ass. And you know what? We're a week away from the MLB playoffs. And with what the Texans have given us so far, the Houston Astros and what they bring us as a baseball team is back, and we got a little bit of healthy sports hate where you can be somewhat confident that the Astros are going to be able to at least do the city proud in their effort. Figgy caught up with Harold, actually.
I did.
You talked to Harold. I think Harold's going to be our official Astros-Yankees consultant. We're going to get the pulse of New York. No more Nick Turturro. It's getting a little bit old.
Back to Harold.
So we're going to go to Harold, the security guard. Harold the Yankee, as we'll call him. And let's just, if you want to get that blood boiling, that healthy sports hate blood boiling, here's Figgy with Harold the Yankee.
Yep, and I ask him on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident is he with the Yankees?
10, of course. Oh, my God.
Man, why are you so confident, man?
Yeah, Aaron Judge, man. He's going to hit 65 and maybe more in the playoff because Boogie down the Bronx with Concord, the H-Town.
So are you scared of the Astros?
Well, not really. I'm scared of Altuve. That's what I'm scared of. But I'm still all the way the Yankees will win it.
Okay.
Yankees are going to win
it. So he's confident.
Oh, that little heart's going to be broken. Okay.
Man, Harold.
Confidence. Like so many other little hearts.
Swagger.
10, of course. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's loving it. He thought that was a trick question. 10, of course.
Harold be talking trash about anything.
You're walking out the door and he's yelling at you.
He's talking trash about anything. He was talking trash about the Giants yesterday. I put my Cowboys cheer shirt on. I was Cowboys Central yesterday.
Yeah.
Giants gonna beat the Cowboys is what he said. I said, come on, give me a break.
Come on,
you kidding me?
Come on,
come in today. It was close. I was like, nah, that wasn't really that close.
It's close for a while.
Yeah, was it? Ish.
A little bit,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's the thank you. So we got the what if, the thank you, the go away. Here's my go away. Figgy brought this up yesterday. Nothing beats me down more than someone invading my space and appearing to be inconvenienced by the fact that he's invading my space. Monday Night Football is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone back to being sacred again because they actually have a legit broadcast with Troy and Joe. You sit down, you watch it, background noise, whatever you want it to be, it's there. If you're cooking, if you're you know, at the computer, having Monday Night Football on is a must, and it deserves its appropriate respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday at halftime, they decided they were going to bring Jimmy Kimmel into the booth. This guy sucks. He sucks.
He used to be so good.
And he was so inconvenienced. And it was like, man, just go away. Like, they're forcing Jimmy Kimmel on Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman just dipped out.
Yeah.
And
I see. Yeah, I noticed that.
And Jimmy Kimmel's going up there all put off. Sorry to bother you, buddy. Your show sucks now. You suck now. You used to be funny. Now you're just a weirdo. And you're going up there on Monday Night Football, one of the most sacred things in American television, and you're going up there almost like they're inconveniencing you. You're inconveniencing them, buddy.
Yeah.
Put your smile on and go up there and do something funny.
When was the last time he was funny? The Man Show?
Yes.
Right?
Maybe early Kimmel.
Early Kimmel? I don't know how he still gets. I mean, he gets paid millions.
Well, he was doing like a show yesterday.
He's all over the place,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. What's going on? How does this happen?
Did you see that joke he tried to bring up? Tried to bring up Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah. And, I had no idea what he was saying.
Joe Buck had no clue what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And made it super awkward.
Yeah.
No idea. It was like Jack Harlow picking College Game Day picks. Like, go away. Like, if you don't want to do this, don't do it. But there's a lot of people who actually, like, put some, like, thought into it and go up there and do it. Like, respect what you got.
And does he realize how broad an audience he had there to kind of promote himself? I mean, like, Monday Night Football, traditionally, like, people who cross over from pop culture or music or movies, it's just, like, elevated them that much more. Hell, John Lennon was on Monday Night Football back in the day.
Multiple times.
Yes. Well, once in a very bad way, but I'm talking about, like, actual John Lennon and Howard Cosell were boys. And it was just, not that the Beatles needed to be elevated, I'm just saying, but the crossover appeal is enormous. Like, people just, and he blew it. He blew it.
I don't even think he cares. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's just going up there.
They didn't even need to do that.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
He wasn't funny. He wasn't being funny. That's for dang sure.
Man, what
it was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Troy got out of there.
Troy, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah, I'm going to the bathroom.
I'll handle this. I'm going to the bathroom. I don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
Get the hell out of here.
How about Troy was at the SMU-TCU game? I saw a picture of him there.
He lives right there.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
One time, Troy's dog almost bit me when I was jogging.
Really? Did you kick it?
Hell no.
Get away from me.
Absolutely not. I was jogging.
Yeah.
And there's like a normal apartment complex, and then there's like a W, and he was staying at the W at the time downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Just were jogging, walking back. This dog like snaps. I kind of back up and look. I look up. I'm like, oh, hey, Troy. Kind of wish the dog would have bit me.
Yeah, I could have gotten some of that.
Would you sue Troy Aikman if his dog bit you?
No. I mean, unless it was severe injuries. But like,
what if it was bad enough to where you need a couple stitches?
Well, he'd pay for that.
But wouldn't you want a little bit more?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Figgy, if you got bit by J.J. Watt's dog, would you sue him?
I wouldn't sue him, but he would have to pay for everything.
Right.
And give
me
some tickets and the jersey.
Oh,
and
like Aaron Judge.
Yeah, you got to make me feel good for me not to sue.
But if we're being honest, J.J. Watt has a golden doodle and golden retriever, so it ain't biting. Those dogs ain't biting.
No, and they're well-trained.
I mean, any dog can bite.
Et cetera. Speaking of dogs, I thought of you this morning.
Okay.
And I felt bad.
Oh, God.
I did. So do you see this vet that's going viral over the five dogs that he would not own? There's a vet in England, like a really, really, like a TV vet, like the guy that's on TV here.
You have a TV vet?
You know, like he's got a popular show and everything. And he actually said the five dogs that he would not own. And I feel bad for these dogs because they're bred this way.
Okay.
But they're difficult.
Here it goes.
I know.
You're messed up for bringing this up.
And my daughter has one.
Okay.
And it's the cutest dog ever, but it has medical issues. Number one, Chow Chow. Not because of medical issues, persistent, but it tends to be aggressive.
I got no Chow.
Number two was a Cavalier Spaniel, which I'm not exactly sure. Number three was a Dachshund, which is a wiener dog.
Okay.
Because of the low to the ground, yeah, back problems, blah, blah, blah. Number four was Shar Pei.
Okay.
They have health problems, too, that the wrinkles cause all the time. And number five was your favorite and one of mine, French Bulldog.
Well, mine, if you look at my dog, my dog's nose isn't like a lot of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she does need a surgery on her leg.
Yeah.
But, like, her nose is like her, she just snores at night.
French Bulldogs have that problem and back problems. And my daughter's French Bulldog.
I think the English Bulldogs have more of the problems, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they had the smashed nose, yeah, where they had the...
My daughter's French Bulldogs had surgery on both back and nose.
See?
So they could breathe.
There you go. Looking out for it.
Feel bad for him.
Shout out to the
Frenchies. Love dogs so much. I don't want him to be sick.
Shout out to the Frenchies. I didn't know what four of those were. It seems like he's just trying to get some clicks. Screw you.
No, he's like a really, really...
Yeah,
like,
screw you, vet.
His trouble with dogs. I mean, he loved dogs.
Clout chasing POS.
I don't think he needs to chase clout.
Coming up, could Lovie Smith be one and done, and is his fate connected to Davis Mills? There was an interesting comment from one of our favorites this morning on the morning show. We will discuss that coming up.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Could Lovie Smith be one and done? Ross Tucker was on this morning with Payne and Pendergast, and he had this to say about Lovie Smith and whether his fate is actually connected to quarterback Davis Mills.
Oh, I always thought Lovie Smith was just a one-year thing. If it continues to trend this way, I think they'll have a new head coach and a new quarterback. And the new head coach will be someone that they believe and has a proven track record to maximize the quarterback position. You don't want to have Lovie there because then it feels like there's a decent chance after the rookie year for the quarterback, when they have another 6-11 year, then you fire Lovie, then you bring in a new guy. Well, then you have your young quarterback have to learn a new offense. I think they're both probably gone if it continues to go this way.
Lovie Smith, one and done. Ross Tucker threw that out there. I got a lot of thoughts on this. What do you think about Ross Tucker throwing that out there?
I think his reasoning is extremely solid in terms of learning a new offense if they have their guy that they want to bring in with a new quarterback. If Davis Mills continues to do what he's been doing, and they're out on Davis Mills, do you want to bring in a quarterback? Which you're going to draft a quarterback. I mean, at this point, you would, you know, if it goes the way it's been going, with Pep Hamilton. Or would you rather just clean house and bring it? I think the reasoning is solid. For some reason, I don't think that's going to be an issue for Nick Caserio. I think he wants to just kind of build this team as best he can, even if that means that the new quarterback is going to have to learn two offenses. He wouldn't be the first, you know? I think he wants to just kind of establish all the draft picks, all the young players, the proverbial culture and everything else that he wants, and then he's going to bring in his guy. So I don't think it'll happen, but his reasoning is really solid.
I just don't think Lovie Smith's going to be a one-and-done coach. I think this is kind of a process that they're letting Lovie oversee. I don't know how long Lovie wants to coach.
That too.
I think he's enjoying being an NFL coach for the time being. It's kind of house money. But I don't think Lovie Smith is like someone who, you know, has like a five-year vision of being the coach of the Texans. And I don't think his fate should be attached to Davis Mills at all. I don't find that to be a possibility that Lovie Smith is one and done. I just couldn't see that happening. And that's where the questions about Nick Caserio would be out there significantly. Like, there would be a lot of questions about Nick Caserio and the ability to hire a coach. I don't know how many options they had last year. I don't, like, some of the names that they interviewed that we were drawn to, I don't know how many of them would have taken this gig in the first place. So you were kind of handcuffed throughout the process, and Lovie just happened to be the guy that was at the right place at the right time.
I think you want to bring in a coach that's attracted to this job. Last year, this job was not attractive. I think it's becoming more attractive, and I think with a young quarterback and more young talent, all those draft picks, it would become extremely attractive, but not necessarily in 2023. I'm talking about in 2024. I'm with you. I think he'll be here for another year. But you know what he said, what Ross said there is not, it's not outrageous. You know, it's a line of thinking. It's a philosophy. You know, bring in your new quarterback with a guy that's going to grow with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you bring in a quarterback and you obviously don't want him to just be moving around and changing the offense and stuff. And I would be interested to see, because we've kind of gotten a little bit of a grasp of Caserio and we're still kind of getting to know him. But I would be interested to see, like, it's one thing for Davis Mills to fall to you in the third round and, you know, you take the flyer on the guy. And I think even what we've gotten from Davis Mills so far has validated the pick. But I do wonder, like, what factors come into play when Nick Caserio has, you know, let's say the Texans end up having a bad season. Let's say they have the number one overall pick. And they've decided they're not going to take Will Anderson, although that might not be a bad idea based on what we've seen from the defense. But let's pretend that they have their pick of all the quarterbacks. It will be interesting to see, like, what factors come into play when they're evaluating guys, because there's going to be all types of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to have this discussion now based on what I've seen with Davis Mills. But it will be interesting to see, you know, how much does he care about size? Like, is he going to overvalue size when it comes to Bryce Young? I don't say overvalue, but is that going to be like
a big factor,
some sort of tiebreaker?
Yeah.
What about CJ Stroud coming from Ohio State, where there's a lot of people that think, you know, you have 5 seconds to throw the ball and it's really easy to throw to those receivers. So you've got to weigh the gray area there. What about Levis or Jefferson from Kentucky and Florida? What about the kid out of Wake Forest? Like, I am intrigued to see what Nick Caserio values at quarterback and how he sees things. You know, if and when that decision has to be made, because we don't know that. We know a lot about Nick Caserio. It feels like we're still kind of getting to know him. We're in the early phases. But I am intrigued to see, like, what kind of quarterback he values, because that's going to be something that's going to be his decision. There's no one else that's going to be in on that decision. Maybe a scouts, but that's something that he's going to have to figure out. And that'll be, like, one of the most important things that Nick Caserio does.
Oh, it's the most important. I also think, and Sean and Seth were talking about this, it came up in their show, kind of the soft tank, you know, with Davis Mills. And I think it makes sense to me, because Nick Caserio knows what a good quarterback looks like. He knows what a great quarterback looks like. He knows what an all-time great quarterback looks like. So he knows what he thinks he sees. I mean, he knows what he sees in Davis Mills. And so he might think, this is the guy to kind of get us through this year. If I strike gold, we strike gold. But I don't think he's going to be the guy. It's kind of like a soft tank. Get him in the game. See what he has. If you get lucky, you get lucky. But you know better, so you're going to draft a quarterback next year.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a soft tank by design. I think it's kind of turned into that. I think you kind of swung for the fences.
Yeah.
And crossed your fingers, hoping that Davis Mills could be the guy, rather than bringing in like a Baker Mayfield or a Jimmy Garoppolo. But make no mistake about it. With all that said, like, if they had brought in one of these middle guys, they would at least have a win right now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not as beneficial as, you know, seeing what you have with Davis Mills. But I don't think that Nick Caserio or anyone on this coaching staff envisioned that Davis Mills was going to be this bad. And it's kind of funny, because you're seeing, like, the line in the sand. You see it on the Loopholes Facebook page, see it online. There's kind of like this line in the sand, and it almost seems like imaginary La La Land with people going back and forth about Davis Mills. Like, you know, well, yeah. Davis Mills isn't the guy. Who has said that Davis Mills is going to be the franchise guy? Like, maybe there's a few people.
Very few.
You can point them out online, but I don't know too many people that were like, okay, Davis Mills is going to be the franchise quarterback, and he's the guy that can take you to the Super Bowl. I've heard Show's kind of hanging his hat on saying something. And I think there's probably three people online or a few texters that have said it. But if you were saying that before the season, I think that's a little bit silly. And now there's like a discussion about, you know, Davis Mills isn't this, Davis Mills isn't that. And I don't think too many people, even Nick Caserio, thought that he was going to be the guy. And I don't think that even Show or someone who was already out on Davis Mills, I don't even think they envisioned that it would be this bad.
No, I think the majority of people thought, well, you can win with Davis Mills. He's going to be, you know, he can be this team's quarterback. But nobody ever thought he was going to be outside of a few outliers, you know, crazies out there saying, hey, Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. You know, there was very few of that. But a lot of people, I think a lot of people thought he could be the guy.
But nobody thought he would be this bad.
Nobody thought he was going to be like this.
Yeah, this is awful.
Which is why I've always said, let's see more. Let's see what, you know, water finding its level here. And apparently it is.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I got a text yesterday from a listener, and, you know, it said something along the lines of, all right, you're out on Davis Mills, and he put, like, that Jimmy Fallon or whatever, like, check, like, taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm out on Davis Mills as far as being, like, a long-term franchise quarterback.
Right.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I was never in on it. Like, I never believed in that hype. So, yes, I am out on that. And yes, you can say it's just three games. I'm out on it. Mm-hmm. I think the performances on the road, the way in which he acts at the podium, and just the overall common sense that he's a third-round pick and you didn't expect much from him. Yes, I was open to the possibility of him potentially be, and he could still be the quarterback after this year. He could play his way into maybe them trying to continue whatever they're trying to do with him. But yes, 3 weeks in, I am out on Davis Mills being the long-term solution at quarterback. Yes, you can mark me down. You can take notes. And we can readdress those however. You can keep the receipt on that.
I think it's pretty obvious that he's never going to be that.
Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a bleep.
Do it. Do what you got to
do. He might get better, but he's not going to be that guy. And it goes back to what I said yesterday.
Remember it.
Like, you know, you look at all his characteristics, all his traits, and I don't see anything where you're like, okay, there's potential there that he can take a leap, you know, a higher. Where? You know, it's just not there. So he's going to be a middling NFL quarterback, poor man's Chase Daniel, you know, Daniels, whatever, you know, whatever that is, but he's not going to be the guy.
Yeah. And I feel fine saying that. You feel fine saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. Write it down.
Mm-hmm. That said, keep playing him.
Right on Sharpie in my forehead. Yeah. Keep playing. Let's see what he can be. Like, can he develop into an okay starter to where maybe Davis Mills could even play his way into, okay, we're gonna build the rest of the team and we're just gonna keep rolling with Davis Mills. Maybe they bring in someone to compete with him next year. Like, I'm not saying that Davis Mills can't be a starter in the league or someone who's kind of like a spot starter. I'm not saying
probably more than.
But I'm saying, like, long term franchise guy, I'm out. Mark it.
Yeah.
Check it. Do what you got to do.
Take a picture of it.
Keep the receipt. Whatever. Stuff it away. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out on that.
I agree.
And I was never in on it. So it's not like right. I'm like completely flopping on it. I was open to it. And I was never in.
Just wait and see.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah, see it. Go ahead. Enjoy it. There are two things lingering at NRG and two very, very concerning things. They might seem trivial, but I can assure you they're not. And one of the biggest early concerns about Nick Caserio has reemerged because of him. I will explain next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
With respect to their organization, we do not consider ourselves the Patriot South. We are here to lead this team the Texans way.
All right, that was Cal McNair at Nick Caserio's press conference. He made it a point to say they're not Patriots South. And really, up to this point, I've believed him because I haven't seen a lot of Patriot things that have impacted the way that Nick Caserio does things.
He
at least
is
not
very
like
smart.
Stuff that gets in the way. There's some philosophies, but a lot of those philosophies are like football-wide philosophies. But there are two things that are lingering at NRG right now, and it's reasonable to believe that Patriots romanticism has something to do with why those things are still lingering. Number one is Jack Easterby.
Right.
Shouldn't be here. Don't care if he's not on the sidelines or anything. Shouldn't be here.
Really, the people. I always come back to people.
Although he was a chaplain in New England, I think the higher hierarchy might have something to do with why he's still here and they're kind of trying
awesome.
To push him out.
That's
but
awesome.
He's still here, and his relationship as a team chaplain with Nick Caserio obviously created some sort of relationship that they have, although I think Caserio wouldn't have ever let him do all the stuff he was being allowed to do here. So that's one. Number two is Rex Burkhead. And this one might be the most telling of all. John McClain's going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. We're also going to give you front row seats to the bullpen. in the 11 o'clock hour on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So keep it locked here. But Rex Burkhead's the other one. We're going to – backup running backs are making impacts all around the NFL. And it doesn't take a lot. All it takes is attention to bring in running backs that can actually still play, and it's a valuable part of your team. It's not just one of those things. It's not a backup quarterback where when the guy gets hurt, you throw him out there. Just look, if you didn't even have cable and you were just watching, or yeah, you would have to have cable, but if you just had basic cable and you were just watching primetime games, Sunday night, Melvin Gordon for the Denver Broncos, he was carrying the ball. I think he carried it two less times than Williams did. He scored the go-ahead touchdown. That's a backup running back. Yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants. Tony Pollard, over 100 yards rushing. That's a backup running back. Backup running backs are making impacts all across the NFL. Hell, one gashed the Texans for 150 yards. Texans have Rex Burkhead here. And there's reason to believe that Rex Burkhead is thought of highly because of Nick Caserio, because of what he did in New England. And that's why Rex Burkhead was brought back after 1 year. And it was a fine year. And that's why Rex Burkhead is trusted in week one to have the most touches of any running back and have the second most targets 2 weeks later, even with a diminished role. The Patriot way, the Patriot South, two of the most lingering things in that building right now as Nick Caserio tries to build things are connected to the Patriots. And the concern that we had and the concern that Cal had, enough to the point where he went out of his way to bring up Patriot South, it's kind of still here with Nick Caserio. Not saying it's like a huge, significant thing, although I kind of think it is with the Burkhead thing, but it's reasonable to think that the Patriot romanticism, et cetera, is kind of clouding Nick Caserio's judgment.
I think it gets to that point. And the reason I put it like that is we all have relationships that we have that if we move on to another place, another job, or get that promotion, we're going to be biased toward those relationships that we trust, you know, people that we work with. So every organization that brings in a new general manager and a new head coach, those previous relationships that they have are going to be brought in as well, some of them. The problem is when you get too, I guess, close to those relationships. Like just name a team. The new general manager, the new head coach has brought in people that they've known and they've trusted. It happens everywhere. So it stands to reason that Nick Caserio is going to bring in people that he trusts here and there. Lovie Smith has brought in a couple of people here and there that he's trusted. But it gets to be a problem when it clearly is clouding your judgment of what is really what really should be happening in the organization. And clearly Rex Burkhead is clouding judgment on this team when it comes to a backup running back. Clearly Jack Easterby is clouding judgment, although they're pushing him out a little bit and he's more in the background, has clouded judgment of what a real front office executive should be.
Look, the backup running back is a big deal.
Yes.
It's one of the most impactful positions that you can have on your roster. Like, it's very, very impactful, and it's clouding your judgment. It's one thing to let Jack Easterby go around and play pretend GM or pretend football operations guy, but the backup running back is clouding Nick Caserio's judgment, and the most troubling thing about it is he's kind of a selective hardo. Like, I don't think Nick Caserio is scared to make, like, ballsy decisions. He held off on trading Deshaun Watson. I mean, he stood firm.
Mm-hmm.
He made teams come to him first, and he did whatever he could do based on what he had to work with. And that's going to be the most important decision at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He was willing to fire David Culley after 1 year. Good decision by Nick Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have Rex Burkhead here, and it's simply because he was a third string, whatever, running back in New England, and he's just lingering around. The problem with it is you could develop a running back this year that could be a big part of things next year, the year after, and so on and so forth. But I just think it's something to keep an eye on. We'll talk to John McClain about it when he joins us for his weekly visit, because he's calling for Nick Caserio to make the change. And I think Nick Caserio should listen here. He should really look in the mirror and ask himself, Why is Jack Easterby here? Why is Rex Burkhead here?
Well, just ask yourself. Worth the damn.
To be fair, Easterby is getting kind of pushed back.
He is.
The same thing needs to happen.
And that's good.
With a running back that is just frankly not it as a second
back. My main point with Easterby is, and I think he's done a good job of pushing him back, and he kind of inherited it, is that there's two things lingering, and both of the two remaining things that are lingering are connected to, like, Patriot stuff. Yeah. We just got to get past that because there's a reason Cal said what he said, and let's just get past it. We need to have a therapy session right now with our guy Tyler Milner. I told him to come in.
What's up guys? How's it going?
Tyler.
Oh, I don't like that tone. I
didn't like the sound of that.
I do not like the way this is getting started.
You purchased a jersey before the start of the season.
I did.
What jersey did you purchase at the start of the season?
I purchased a deep steel blue, number 10, Davis Mills jersey.
How do you feel about this purchase at this moment?
I'm torn. Overall, not great. Not great. But the reason I'm torn, and I think I told you about this, but I hadn't owned an NFL jersey since I was a kid.
Well, that's a hell of a way to...
Really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise. To bust the seal.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm jumping in feet first, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I always thought NFL jerseys kind of fit me weird. I'm more of a baseball jersey guy, but I'm happy with the fit. Maybe at this point should have gone with a different name on the back.
If the Texans offered you half your money back, would you trade in the Mills jersey right now?
No. Right now, no.
See, you're too entrenched. You know, we were just talking about how Nick Casario's like too, his judgment is too clouded with his previous relationship. I think your judgment is too clouded by your General Mills tweets.
I'll say this. I told Clinton's show yesterday. I've officially, as of this past Sunday, I've downgraded General Mills to now Captain Mills for the time being. He has the opportunity to move back up in the rankings. That is there for him to take. But for now, he has been downgraded to a captain. He's not the general right now.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I was wondering about this purchase. Saw my man T-Mill coming
in. I'm not bailing yet. I'm holding on to a slight sliver of hope that Davis Mills could possibly
good
be the guy.
Good luck with all that.
Okay. There you go. Pray for me.
T-Mill, appreciate you, man. Thanks for doing everything you do, my friend.
Yes.
Tyler Milner. You can hear him 2 to 6 Monday through Friday on Clint Sterner and the show. We are going to... this is going to be very interesting. We are going to talk to John McClain.
Mm-hmm.
And John McClain is calling for Nick Casario to make a change.
Good.
Can you believe that?
Yes. Good for him.
I'm very surprised by this.
Really?
I'm surprised.
McClain does that.
He does.
Yeah, he's done that in the past. Okay. Even at the Chronicle.
He also gave out about 4 Fs. So we're here at John McClain for his weekly visit and the reports coming up very shortly.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.